Blog Talk Radio.
Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and the hush of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the host of angels sing, glory to the newborn King, and the sounding joy repeating, Jesus saves.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And tonight, we are going to be talking about the movie God's Not Dead. We had a chance to watch it again this weekend, and we are so excited about it that we want to talk about it again. So, hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Tired. Been working out in the yard in the beautiful day that God gave us and getting some of that sunshine. I think I worked until it was almost dark, so it's been wonderful. You know, God is so good. We are so blessed with so many things in this country, but one of them is to be able to go and do what you want to do when you want to do it, and one of them is to enjoy the great outdoors. So it's wonderful.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we've had some rain to settle down that pollen that was causing such havoc among so many people in this area. And today was just one of the most beautiful days, well nigh perfect. And tonight was a great baseball night here in Dothan, just perfect weather for baseball. And we had a great game, by the way. Really, really lovely, lovely time here in southeast Alabama.
Oh, we are indeed in blessed in God's country, just spectacular, the things that we can do. We can find so much to enjoy, right, Miss Barbara? So much.
Yes, indeed we can. And, you know, for so long now, Diana, we've been in the battle against the dumbing down of our children in the education system. And we've been busy, busy, busy. And but, you know, there are times you just have to stop and smell the roses and appreciate anew what God has done for us in the beauty of creation. And this was just one of those days, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, Miss Barbara. You were right. And, you know, the funny thing, too, is I don't remember getting bit by a mosquito.
Right.
That I'm
right.
Extra grateful for. So
right.
Anyway, well, Miss Barbara, you want us to go ahead and start off in prayer?
Oh, I'd love to. Yes, let's do that. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you, Father. So grateful to you, Lord, that you are a God of wonders. You created, Father, this earth for mankind. And, Father, it's just far enough away from the sun that we don't burn up, yet close enough, Lord, that we don't freeze to death. And, Father, everything that you created in this earth, you created for us. And someone once said that the flowers you created are love thoughts from you to us. And I believe that, Lord. We thank you for the beauty that surrounds us at this time of year. And Father, we know that you can't give what you don't have, and how very beautiful you must be, O God. And we look forward, Lord, to seeing you face to face. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can know you and love you and delight in you, O God. And Father, that's what we want for everyone. We know that's your will, Father, that none should perish. That's your heart's desire, that no one should be left behind. No one should be lost. So, Father, we thank you for this wonderful movie, God's Not Dead. We thank you, Father, for the message, which is moving far and wide throughout this country, and particularly among young people, among college age, high schoolers. Father, we're just amazed, just absolutely amazed at what you're doing at this time among young people in our country, and Father, and throughout the earth as well. We pray, Father, that this movie, this message in the movie, in this movie, will accomplish great things in this land and throughout the earth. Father, your plans are so much better than what we could plan, any of us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that your plan for this movie and its message is so much more than what we could even imagine. And we just pray, oh God, that your plan will be fulfilled. And Father, we especially pray, Lord, that everyone who is moved and touched by this movie and comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ would be soul winners, Lord. We pray that not only that there will be many who are born again, but that, Father, when they are born again, Lord, that they will become soul winners, bringing many, many, many into the kingdom of God. That's your desire, Father, and that's our desire as well. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Miss Barbara. And, you know, we talked a little bit about God's Not Dead, and I was so moved that I wrote a blog last night.
I did.
I blog so that, you know, we can have something to post on our website, but, you know, I get so busy that I don't blog as much as I used to. But the movie that I did do blog, and I titled it, funny thing, you know, because our mind's been on Common Core a lot, and I thought, you know, how good of God to send us this movie. It could have been sent 10 years ago, but it would not have the impact on me as it's doing now because of the Common Core issue. And I said, what does the movie God Is Not Dead have to do with Common Core? In short, that is a main subject of Common Core.
And
Ms. Barbara, this was your first time watching it, so let us go ahead and let's hear your perspective, because you were a skeptical of the movie because you've seen so many movies in your life that, you know, have been promoted as this and that. So tell us what you would like for us to learn from your experience.
Well, you're right, Diana. I was skeptical going in, but because of your high recommendation of it, I went, and it was time well worth it. You know, I was just amazed at this movie in so many different ways. The message, the gospel message, came through clear and in such a powerful way. There were many different storylines in the movie, and yet it was like a perfect whole. You know, there were many parts, but they all came together as a perfect whole. And the young man who takes up the challenge to prove that God is not dead, or the challenge of the atheistic professor, the young man could not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not deny him. And the professor was demanding that he do so, and he could not. And, you know, as we saw that class, that college class, and everyone else was willing to deny the Lord, which, you know, they didn't know the Lord. If you know him, you can't deny him. It would be like denying your child, your parent, your husband, your wife, to deny that they exist. You know, you're in a relationship.
Oh, yes.
You know they exist, and you cannot deny them. And even, I mean, much more so than an earthly family member. God himself, you know, and the Lord Jesus shed his blood. He suffered. He was tortured for me. How could I deny him? But anyway, so the young man is faced with that, and he simply cannot deny him, no matter what other people did, and no matter that he was being advised by people he loved, cared about, respected, and he was being advised by them to deny the Lord, and he could not. And he took up the gauntlet, and he set forth. And but this is what, you know, everybody comes away with something that stands out. This is one of the things that stood out to me about the movie, Diana, is that this young man, it not only took courage for him to accept the challenge, to actually take the last 20 minutes of the class and give his perspective and try to convince the fellow classmates about the existence, the reality of God, but that it involved a tremendous amount of research, of preparation, of study, of writing, and the effort involved, the work involved. He accepted that responsibility, and you know, God was in it, and God anointed him. He did anoint him. The young man had to be willing to sacrifice his time and to really work hard, to really pursue this, to, you know, to be determined to give it his all. That really blessed me. He gave it his all, Diana. And I, you know, and that brought a conviction to me that sometimes I don't give it my all. Sometimes I'm too concerned about my own comfort or my own whatever. you know, that I don't give it. I don't give the Lord my all. But that was just a blessing to see this young man give it his all, give it all to the Lord, you know. And he was putting his future on the line. He put relationships on the line. He put everything on the line and just plowed in and went forward and mm-hmm. and did the work and the will of God. It was a blessing.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know how I've already seen it one time before, and I loved it the first time. But it's funny because the second time there were other things that stood out. One of the reasons I wanted to see it again was I could barely hear Kevin Sorbo at the end, and I wanted to hear his words. I'm not going to give it away to those that's not listened, not watched it before, but there's something very important about what Kevin had said. But one of the things that a perspective that hit me this time was the way his girlfriend reacted to what he was led to do for the Lord.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, Ms. Barbara, I'm not here to judge the church, but it struck me because, you know, in the beginning, you know, they had talked about, well, you know, we met each other when our youth group collided. So she was a Christian like he was a Christian. But yet, you know, like you said, Ms. Barbara, you know, he was at the point where he wanted to give it his all, right? He wanted to give Jesus his all. And, you know, I love what the Duck Dynasty, you know, couple had talked about, which is really, you know, if you don't acknowledge me before all now, you know, it's like, why should my Father acknowledge you in heaven? And Ms. Barbara, I wonder about that with what's going on with the children. To do right and to not do it, I think it's a sin. And I think about the Good Samaritan who was the only one that did not stop, that did not pass by, right? The hurt man. Everybody else, the Pharisees, and, you know, they passed by and they were supposedly, you know, very close to the Lord. So I'm thinking to myself, isn't God good to give us a way to look at ourselves in the mirror? Because to tell the truth, we would not have this problem with Common Core, I think, if the church has had a look at what they're allowing. But anyway, that was one of the things that struck me is, you know, she really represented the church today. It's like, well, I'm in my comfort zone. I like my 501c3. I like to get my contribution. So why should I rock the boat? You know, just like she did. She did not want her future rocked in any way. She was comfortable. She knew where she was going, and she wanted no distraction or detractors from that. But I really feel that this issue, the Common Core, is one of the most important issues, I think, that kind of defines, I hate to say it, Ms. Barbara, I think it defines our walk with God. How are we going to treat this issue? Because, you know, as the story really shows us, most college kids, when they go to college, the percentage of them, you know, being led away gets really so high. So now they've perfected that, and they're wanting to go in the younger ages from K through 12. And can the church really afford to just not do anything?
Well, you know, Diana, we've talked for quite some time about the key to victory over Common Core, that the church holds the key to that victory. And so we've tried in various ways to engage the church, the body of Christ. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right. And that is the movie, I see what you're saying about the response of the of the girlfriend. And, yeah, she was in the church, and but only a real risk tests of belief, as C.S. Lewis said quite some time ago. And the young man quoted C.S. Lewis in that movie. And you know, she'd never been faced with the choice before, apparently. And she made the wrong choice. You know, she was not willing. You know, her belief system didn't carry that far. Well, you know, we see Christians unwilling to examine what's going on in education with Common Core for various reasons. But there are those, like the young man in the story, there are those who are putting it all on the line for the Lord. You know, I'm reminded of something that Martin Luther, the reformer, said so many years ago about it's where the battle is currently raging. You'll find God's people where the battle is taking place right now. That's where you will find God's people. And no matter how loudly or long you proclaim Christ, you know, it's I'm paraphrasing this, of course, and but it's like no matter what you're proclaiming, you can proclaim you're being a Christian and so forth, but the battle, where the battle is raging right now, is where the Christian soldier is engaged, is fighting. So no matter how loudly you're proclaiming, you know, the words are empty if you're not in the battle.
And Miss Barbara, that show, you know, God is so amazing. I mean, he does not make mistakes. He does not have accidental ideas, you know. So
right,
when I think about the movie God's Not Dead and the timing of it, I'm thinking, Lord, it is everything we're fighting for. You know, it is everything. Everything in that movie is really, Miss Barbara, what we are just so involved in. We are involved about the mind of our children. Yeah, in the movie it was older children. But they are the future of this nation, and they are, you know, really they're the church. You know, they're the church. And it's like God was holding up a mirror, Miss Barbara, don't you think?
Yes, yes, I do. And yes, you're right. They're older children, but the way they got to be complacent or agnostic in their college years was you know what happened when they were younger. So, and now, you know, the Common Core system is taking aim at the very youngest of the young. Not even just kindergarten. We're talking pre-K. There is a major, major thrust to get children as soon as they're born, and that they would be put into the hands of the government and the philosophy.
Oh, Miss Barbara, yes. And I saw what you're saying because I read the article about, you know, they want them to have longer days. And basically they want the government to babysit your child. You know, from what you're saying, a very, very young age. In essence, you know, that is the very opposite of parenting. I mean, you're now going to have the government, in essence, raising up the child versus the godly responsibility that God placed on the mother, on the parent of the child. I mean, that is just amazing the what's taking place right before our eyes. And yet people are asleep because they're thinking, oh, it's going to help me with my babysitting, you know, so I can work, right, Miss Barbara? So I can work and I can, you know, I can do this, I can do that. I will have me a babysitter, and it's paid for by the government. But Miss Barbara, you know, they, it's like we are so lost, we don't even realize that this administration has the gall to make life so hard that it doesn't matter if you've just got one job. It's not going to ever be enough, is it?
No, no. It is never enough. So what young people have to do is they have to set their priority, and the priority is faith in God first, family, country, you know. And to do things, the instruction manual, by the instruction manual, the Bible. And when we do that, God provides. He provides, and we have. He meets our needs. He truly does. You know, we're living witnesses to that, aren't we, Diana?
Oh, Ms. Barbara. Well, let me tell you a funny story about instruction manual. You know, me and my husband built one of those storage sheds. The metal frame, and it
uh-huh.
has so many screws. You know, remember how many screws those things have? I think they had the most screws, those metal frame storage buildings. And, but, you know, which kind of, I guess, is kind of parallel our, you know, us. There's so many loose screws and so many things that got to work
yeah.
together in our body and our mind, emotions, you name it, you know. But you know what
yeah.
we didn't do? We spent all that time screwing everything. We didn't read the manual.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
We had things screwed wrong.
Oh,
we had to undo. And when I finally grabbed a hold of the manual and I read it, we were able to build it. So you're so right. You know, God's manual for us, operator's manual, it's the Bible. And if you take the time to follow that Bible, my goodness, he will give you life abundant. But if you go against it, you will end up, Miss Barbara, which is what we see with a lot of, unfortunately, the atheists and agnostics. You see a lot of messed up people. I mean, it's
yeah.
bad enough. Life
yeah.
is bad enough with, you know, the way it is. But if you don't have God, you really, really see. And they want to destroy everybody else is what I think that's the mark on them. They want to destroy everybody else. It's like, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to take everybody. Isn't that just like the devil, though, Ms. Barbara? He knows he's not going to enter heaven, so what does he do? He's going to take everybody that will believe in him, as many as can believe in him and put their faith and trust in him and the lies that he promotes versus God. They don't realize they're going down. Unfortunately, it's not to heaven, it's to hell.
Well, you know, back to the film, God Is Not Dead, I believe that Christians will come away from that movie with an urgency to share the gospel, an urgency to win souls, because once you're dead, it's too late. It's too late to be a soul winner and come before the Lord and see who you've brought with you. You know, when we come to know the Lord, we don't want to stand before him bringing no one with us, you know. So there's an urgency for that. But for those, you know, an urgency for winning souls, I think, is paramount. Once the door is closed, there's no opening it. You know, once someone dies, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man to die once, and then comes the judgment. So there's no turning back. It is final, and we have to have an urgency about that for prayer, for witnessing, for laying aside. And you could tell I'm talking to myself here, Diana, but for laying aside anything that hinders that for winning souls. I think that this movie is going to be a great motivator for urgency, the urgency of soul winning. Diana, I found that quote by Martin Luther that I was trying so lamely to express, and I do want to share it with you. Martin Luther said,
please do.
Yeah, he said it much better. He said, if I profess with the loudest voice and clearest expression every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. There.
Wow, how beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That is beautiful, Miss Barbara. And I guess it kind of reminds, and I can't quote the woman that spoke where the Lord put it into her to say the words, you know, that sin is comfy.
Yes.
And I think, you know, what you just said there, Ms. Barbara, kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we get comfortable and we're not realizing that, you know, because you are not going to where it's uncomfortable, to where the fight is, you know, are you really doing what the Lord wants? I know God does not expect us to do everything. We can't do everything all the time, but I have heard it said that, you know, if he puts it before you, you know, you really can't turn the other way, can you?
Yeah. I believe that's right. I believe that if we're walking with the Lord, then what comes before us are those things that we're to deal with in Him. And if there is an evil to be confronted, then we're to do it. And it's like with the education or miseducation of Common Core. That is before us. And if we don't confront it, if we don't attempt to stop what is harming children, then that puts us in a very, very bad position of, by the sin of omission, you've got the sin of commission, of actually doing something evil, and then you've got the sin of omission, going along with something evil and not trying to stop it. And St. Augustine spoke about that, or wrote about that, and said, you know, we're just as guilty in the sin of omission as the sin of commission. So, as we go, those things, that we can't do everything. You're right. And God doesn't expect us to, and he doesn't equip us to either. So, but he will equip us as we walk in this life, whether it's a situation with our family, and family members needing our help, our prayers, our physical help. You know, I know that your husband has need of you to help him in many different ways, and the Lord has proven himself faithful over and over and over again as you help Jimmy. You know, that opens up before you. And, you know, and then in everything else that you encounter. So I think that's how it goes. And then he puts people on our minds and hearts. And if we can't physically be with them, we know that we're to be praying for them if God brings them to our minds.
And
he doesn't put everyone on our mind, but some he does.
Yeah, and it's really, in a way, I do, it's like, to me, God is like, I know I've blogged before about Sodom and Gomorrah, and, you know, we've heard Colonel Osmo talk about, in the, you know, that was the sign, you know, kind of at the end, you know, when they were at the really, really, my goodness, you know, and when we think about Sodom and Gomorrah, I think about the fact that their own children, their own child, was going to be sacrificed for political correctness. What was the tradition of that day? If I remember it right, Ms. Barbara, was you had to really be good to strangers, right?
Yeah.
And it was to the point that you would sacrifice your daughter in the story. You know, he would sacrifice his daughter because he wanted to be politically correct or traditionally or whatever you call it correct. And Ms. Barbara, that rings a little bit of what's going on today, isn't it? I mean, I think there are people that know that this is wrong. But yet, for some reason, they are willing to look the other way. And that, to me, is, you know, that's scary to me. I mean, it's scary to me for the person that's doing it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's a good analogy. And that's where we are. We're seeing that more and more. But you know, we know this. This is the bottom line, that when we know God through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when the veil is lifted from our eyes and we are able to see and understand spiritual things, and we learn God's word, because it is a love letter written to each one of us from our Heavenly Father. And we begin to know the Lord in our experience, in our own lives, in every situation. And we get to know him through his word. And we grow to love him more and more. The more we know him, the better we love him, the more deep is that love. And then he becomes more precious than silver to us, more precious than the praise of men, more precious to us than material riches, more precious to us than fame fortune, so forth, then we won't deny him. So what we're seeing, I think, and I may not have this all right, but I think some of it's right anyway. I think what we're seeing is a lot of church-going people, and even teaching Sunday school, even, you know, involved in ministry, that don't yet, they're not yet born from above. They're not born again of God's Spirit and haven't set on that path of learning to know him and the desire to know him more than any other desire on the face of this earth, which is what happens. That's what happens when you get born again. God becomes more real than the person standing in front of you. And so, I don't know, Diana. I'm just thinking that there's a whole lot of church going on, but I just don't know how real a lot of it is. And I think when it's real, I think we sacrifice and we don't deny the Lord, whether it's for our children in education, you know, or whatever it is.
Well, Miss Barbara, I really am so grateful that God is bringing all sorts of things to come and make us really question our walk, whether you are an atheist or a Christian. It is really a time, you know, and I've said this before, you know, parents that love their children, Miss Barbara, it seems like you spend all your life warning, giving wisdom, bits of wisdom, right? All the time. It's a nonstop work, isn't it? I mean, it's really, and if we are like our Heavenly Father and we have taken on that, and we know that he gives warnings, right? I mean, the whole Bible, really, it's about his love and grace and how he tells you, you know, you sow what you reap, and, you know, if you'll go this way, right?
Yeah.
And if you'll trust me, if you'll have faith in me, you know, man does not live on bread alone, but on my word. My goodness, God is all the time giving us bits of wisdom, messages, warnings, whatever. I'm just so excited because I believe this is another one of those, Ms. Barbara. The Common Core issue, I think, is a warning. It's like, get yourself, your house in order. Look at yourself, you know, because I think, I hate to say this, Ms. Barbara, but I think the most, you know, one of the precious gifts of God is our families, right? The children. You would do things for children that you wouldn't do for anybody else.
Yeah.
And isn't God good to allow us to see the evil that's going on so that we can look at really, I mean, the evil that Common Core is, and I say it's evil, and we've seen that it is leading children away from God. It is very anti-patriotic. It is driving children crazy because it's not developmentally appropriate. I mean, mental health therapists and have had all sorts of warnings. This is not the way the brain functions properly. Is being made to go against the grain. And I even remember Joan Landis saying that some of the Common Core approach leads to psychosis. You know, you don't do this to children. So, yes, it's really a very dangerous
and it's never been tested. But, you know, it's like teachers, a lot of teachers and educators, Tommy Weiss, just gloss over that fact. It's not evidence-based. It's not tested. But I think Common Core is making us look at and see evil. It is there. It is in our schools. And I hate to say it, it is after the children. And if you as a parent see that and you're hurting, I think it's going to make you come to the realization, you know, there's really only one true helper. And it's the same helper that the Founding Fathers saw, right, when they were battling Great Britain. I know that for some people it might seem kind of old, but, you know, it's tried and true. God is tried and true. And how good it is for him to send us a reminder to see evil for what it is and to remember that, you know, I'm not dead. I'm alive, and I'm here for you.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, when you're talking about the Common Core being like a warning and how the time that we spend in our lives giving warning to our children, and then as they get older, we continue to do that. Then we're talking to them about the warnings for our grandchildren, for their children, you know. So it's continuous. But you know, it reminded me of what the Lord says. I set before you this day life and death. Choose life. And he goes on. I believe it's from Deuteronomy. I could be wrong about that, but he goes on to say, if you know, this will bring life. These things that I'm telling you will bring life. Choose life. But these things bring death. You know, don't go this way. Choose life. And, but he sets it before us. And we have a free will to choose. And, But you know, the movie, God Is Not Dead, also talks about that each one of us have a free will. We cannot force someone to believe in the God that we love so much. We can't force it. Can't be done. But we can tell about him. And as best we can, each of us in our own way. You know, I think it was really interesting the difference between the Duck Dynasty guy. Tell me his name. I'm not a big.
I forget.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm not. I mean, I watch it some too, but I guess not enough to
yeah.
remember all their names.
I'm crazy about him. He and his wife were just precious in this movie. But, you know, the Lord is reflected in his life in a different way from other people. You know, for example, the young college student who was in earnest and set about to accept the challenge, you know. But you know, I don't know where I got this. I'm sure I read it somewhere, but you know how a diamond is multifaceted and has many different sides but very beautiful. All of a diamond is very beautiful. Every facet of it is beauty, and it reflects such beauty. And someone likened it to the body of Christ. You know, we're all unique, and we reflect the Lord differently in our lives. And So and it's all good, you know? It's all good. It's all beautiful.
It is, Ms. Barbara. Like, and you said something you said something just now about choice, and I know we don't have but 10 more minutes. And, you know, that is a great point, Ms. Barbara, about the choice. And I know my name is written in heaven. And I can't tell you where it is in Matthew. I think the disciples were wanting another miracle from Jesus. But he said there's nothing greater than that your name is written in heaven. And Ms. Barbara, that is really spectacular.
Yeah, it is.
But the other side, though, makes me want to weep, because there are those who will choose not to believe. And just as I know my name's written in heaven, I know that, unfortunately, there's going to be people who's not wanting to choose heaven. And that, Ms. Barbara, you know, it's very, very sad, because that's the other side of the coin. Not everybody is going to heaven. You know, I know that there's some people that makes it up that God is such a good God that, you know, like there's no hell. But as you have said, Ms. Barbara, he gave us a choice, but the wonderful thing is, you know, he gave you such a beautiful example of the price of your choice. You know, he gave you his very best, his son Jesus Christ, so that you know there is a price for your choice. And so, you know, it's heartbreaking to know there are people, but would you mind giving an invitation for them, Ms. Barbara? I don't, you know, we see so many signs, the blood moon's coming out, we see Israel's a sign, and there's so much surrounding Israel going on right now. And so we who read the owner's manual, we understand that God is warning us. We don't have to know every page of the Bible, but we know enough. And so would you mind, Ms. Barbara, sharing that invitation?
Sure. I'd be honored to, Diana. I just hope that that God's Holy Spirit would speak through us to those who do not yet know the Lord. And, you know, I could say many things about the Lord and what I've experienced with the Lord since I have come to know him, about his goodness, his thoughtfulness, his kindness. Sometimes I think I'm more touched by the kindness of the Lord in the little things as much as the big things. He's a personal God. He is a God who created the heavens and the earth and all that is there. But mankind, man and woman, that's his crowning glory. And he created everything for us, for you. Everything in this earth, in this world. He is a God who gives and gives and gives. And he loves you so much that he wants you to be with him forever in heaven, throughout all eternity. Life on this earth is very, very short compared to eternity. And even if you live out your days on this earth to a long life, it's still very short compared to eternity. And what we do here matters. The choices we make matter. There's one choice that has all the significance that will matter throughout all eternity. And that's what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? God sent Jesus to this earth to bear your sins, to bear my sins, very own perfect, spotless body. He took my sin upon himself on the cross. He took your sin upon himself on the cross. And he paid the ultimate price that was necessary, because the payment for sin is death. So Jesus took your death and he took my death on that cross so that we could have life. So what he wants for us to do is to look to him, to trust in him for our salvation. There's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, because he is the one that paid for your sin and my sin. He's the one. And it had to be him. There was no other that could make that payment, because he was perfect. He was God. And he left the glory of heaven to come down to earth to do just that, to die on a cross so that we might have life. Now, if you're hearing this message, today is the day of salvation. Give your life to the Lord. Jesus gave his life for you. Give your life to him. All the sorrows, all the sin, all the garbage, all the bad things that you've ever done, thought, said, and all your hopes and your dreams, everything, give it to him. Surrender it all to him. And he will give you his life within you. You will have the life of God within you. The life of God within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you'll know him personally, intimately. And when you've done that, and you ask God to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, come into your life, be your Savior, be your Lord, he will come in, and he will transform you, and he will conform you to the image of Christ. So I pray that you will do that, right? Just say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life, all of it, every bit of it. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, be my Savior, be my Lord. And I will love you, and I will serve you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you did pray that prayer, tell someone. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Share that news with someone. Tell them what you've done, that you've asked God to save you, and that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ, and begin to read your Bible. If you don't have one, get one. Most important book, like no other book ever. And begin to read what you mean to God, and you'll see what God means to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. Well, folks, you've heard it. Oh, that is the most precious thing to share, isn't it, Ms. Barbara? I mean, and we hope that you will just dwell in that, cherish that. There is nothing like it, and nothing is hard for God. So, you know, we just like to lift you up in prayer. So we just thank God for this opportunity, Ms. Barbara. How good of God to help us have an opportunity like this, Ms. Barbara. And, you know, there's no telling who may have gotten that message. It may be just one. But for that one person, it makes all the difference. So, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you,
important.
Lord.
Most important God. Decision that we make, you know. And Diana, you know, if you had told me earlier that you would be asked, see, you didn't know that you were going to ask me to give an invitation. You didn't know that.
No,
I certainly didn't know it. And when you asked me to do that, and when, honestly, when you asked me to pray or give an invitation, totally inadequate to do so. Totally inadequate. But God is adequate. Is that not beautiful? I mean, God. In our weakness, our weakness is a good thing because God said, I will help you. I will be your strength. And he enables us to do what he wants us to do.
And, you know, Ms. Barbara, you know, there are others, I know, that they would say, well, you know, it's good to pray to Jesus and it's good to pray to other gods. But we know, as a Christian, we know what the Bible says. There is only one God. There
That's
is
right.
no other.
That's right.
And it's
Jesus
not just
said,
the way
I
to
am
find.
The way. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not just a waste of time, I think, Ms. Barbara, to pray. To me, if you are saying you want to pray as a Christian and pray to Jesus Christ, you cannot. To me, it's like I almost feel like you're going to bring wrath down because God says he is a jealous God. You know, you cannot do that. I mean, to me, don't even pray. I mean, it's like God says you can't be hot or cold, right? You can't be lukewarm, I mean. And if you're being in the middle, it's worse for you because he will spit you out. So I think it's a very dangerous thing. And so, you know, I've seen something about that where somebody had posted that. And I thought, you know, you can't be on the middle. Not with God. It's a dangerous place to be in. So, you know, if you're one of those that thinks, well, it's good to pray this and then pray this other, you need to read the Bible, you know, because it's really not funny. It's really pretty serious stuff. But anyway, you know, what we talk about on the show, we do talk a lot of politics, but I love it, Ms. Barbara, because it's always about connecting the dots. All roads lead to Jesus Christ, the Creator. I mean, there is no other way. So we like to thank God for enabling us to pray to him and to end with prayer.
That's right.
Because when we talk about the world's problems, I know it gets kind of hard, kind of heavy. But, Ms. Barbara, there's something about the act of giving it to him in prayer.
Well, you know, Diana, you started this radio show in prayer, and you certainly bathed it in prayer. And when you first went on the air, you opened in prayer and closed in prayer. And that's been the hallmark of this radio show, that it's that we acknowledge God and depend upon God. And, you know, it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. All the difference. And I love it. And I love you. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, Miss Barbara, I love you too. And I thank God for all that he's done for us. And listeners, please tune in again. We want to inform you, but the most important information for you to know is that God loves you. You know, when you finally get the impact of that, that's really spectacular. There is no greater miracle, Ms. Barbara.
That's the truth.
And so we're going to say goodnight. And just, well, now, tomorrow night we're going to have Mr. Finn Larson, president of CEAI, one of Ms. Barbara's favorites. So, Ms. Barbara, we're going to have him on. So, and Wednesday we're going to have Zev Perot. Ms. Barbara, Zev Perot is rocking not just Israel, but the world. You have got to, when you have a chance to come on, you need to come on when he comes on Wednesday at noon. So, because he is, I think people are, from what I heard, they're writing about him, Ms. Barbara. They are writing about him. So, anyway, we're going to say goodnight. Ms. Barbara has given you a wonderful closing prayer. So please chew on that. I pray that many receive that. And we just want to tell you, God loves you. And we pray that God will shine his face upon you. And thank you for being on City on a Hill with us. And good night. Good night, Ms. Barbara.
Good night. God bless.